Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We're going to dive right back into marketing, but let me get through these typical obligatories, things to, you know, harass you about. One of the things I learned a long time ago in the Marine Corps is harassment isn't effective unless it is consistent. So, therefore, we must be consistent in reminding you these things. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that actually provides you the macro view as well as the micro view on the academic evidence as well as the academic-based solutions. Now, are you pondering your role and responsibility in petitioning your government? One of the things we came up with yesterday is the importance in petitioning your county supervisors, your county commissioners, whatever you call your legislators for the county, in demanding that they pursue getting your voice counted in this upcoming election. And that means that we want the Electoral College to go as the people vote, not how the state has determined the outcome. Anyway, I know I did get a little bit of harassment because we did not cover the September 11th show or, you know, a remembrance or any kind words or let us never forget. My focus is trying to get you motivated. September 11th, as well as every day that we are taking a beating, whether it be by the hands of government or by the Bolshevik Revolution, every day I try to remind you that if we're going to right this course, if we're going to turn this ship around, it is going to require that you do something. And we're trying to show you what you can do without having to go out in the streets and pull triggers and or, you know, butt heads with people. Now, next week we have, you know, actually on the 21st, we will still be covering the Constitution, but I'm not convinced that that show will be aired. And that's just due to the whatever the problems are in trying to get pre-recorded shows aired for a specific date. I've tried several times, can't do it, haven't been able to do it, but we will try and we'll get one out there. And if it doesn't get played, then we will play it the following day when we're actually able to do our manual broadcast. So it is just trying to let you know, you do want to listen, though, and you want to make sure you tune in when we start covering the Constitution, because we're going to go into some details that is really important. More importantly, though, we need to maintain our focus on compliance, because that's what it's all about, folks. If people are not complying to the Constitution, if they're not living up to their oath, if they're not fulfilling the law and supporting the law, then it's pure tyranny. It's mayhem. We do not have a lawful government. And people are complaining about Trump's doing this or that. I mean, we don't have a lawful government. The government is doing things that they have no legal right to be doing, no constitutional right, which is the same thing. Anyway, again, not tomorrow, but Thursday is Constitution Day. And that's when we kick off Constitution Week. We are going to dive into every word of the Constitution. And actually, what we really want to do, as I've mentioned before, is the focus for this coming Constitution Day and week, or I should say, at least one of the focuses, will be the Electoral College. Another focus will be your First Amendment petitioning, as well as the militia, your responsibility within the militia and those parts of Article 1, Section 8 that actually calls out the militia. Anyway, we will get into more marketing and the election for today and tomorrow, But after that, we will be covering the Constitution. So you're going to want to listen, especially if you don't take the time to read it, then while you're driving or what have you, you will be able to read it. Or I should say, you'll hear us read it, and it's almost the same thing. I would like to try to motivate you any way you possibly can to at least familiarize yourself with the Constitution, at least, you know, at a high level. Section 1 deals with the legislative branch. Section 2, or Article 2, and Article 1 is the legislative branch. Article 2 is the president, the choosing of the president, and so forth. Article 3 is the judiciary. Article 4 are some general, powers and or administrative information regarding how states come into the union, your Republican form of government, that type of stuff. Article 5 is the amendment process, and Article 6 are some more declarations, and Article 7 is the ratification process. And that's kind of like the overall view of the Constitution in its original form, and then all of the amendments behind that from the Bill of Rights and beyond. We usually don't cover the Bill of Rights, but we are going to cover a couple of the amendments as a part of this so that you can understand some of the important things that we're asking you to do so that you can get involved. Finally, the one last thing I do want to say is thank you for tuning in, and please get other people to start tuning in so that they can at least start sinking their teeth into the Constitution and recognize the fact that it actually covers almost every single problem we're dealing with. It has the solution of how to deal with that. I get fed input from other people or the other presentations. And, you know, when you look at a presentation and you listen to somebody, the question I have, before you think about forwarding it to me, the question I ask you is this person actually promoting a solution, or is this person just standing up and saying, you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do this? Well, I don't need any more of those things about what they can't do. We already know what they can't do. What we're interested in is people who are interested in the solution and is out trying to solve problems. And I say that because it's not uncommon for people to, you know, send me Publius Hudala, and I think her name is Joanne Martin or something like that. She's a lawyer. She's with the John Birch Society, and she talks about the evils of the Article 5 Convention. She doesn't even talk about what the true recipe, what we have to do, and what the states must do to get the federal government into compliance. Anyway, and it's really not necessarily about we the people. It's just we the people need to get our state legislators to step up and do their job, because it is their job to do. If we have to rise up, then that becomes mobocracy. That just becomes a problematic issue that all of a sudden people start considering the mob violence and, or I should say, the mob, you know, what is it? The paradigm that is coming from, you know, like what's coming from Antifa. What we want to do is we want to maintain focus on the law and have the law complied to and enforced. And there are processes of enforcing the law. And Republic Review is very specific in getting the federal government into enforcement, and getting the states actually to do that is the big, that's the big goal, or that's the ultimate goal that we all need to be heading towards. Now, as we move into what we call the marketing area, we just got maybe a little less than a minute, or a little over a minute. Let me just start off with this one. Now, again, this is G. Edward Griffin's regarding the need to know news. The Trump administration is halting, quote, critical race theory, close quote, training in federal agencies. Apparently, critical race theory is a theoretical framework rooted in Marxism that describes individuals as oppressed or oppressor based on their skin color. Russ Vought, director of the Office of Management and Budget, wrote a memo informing federal agencies to stop using training based on, quote, critical race theory, close quote, or white privilege, and any other propaganda that teaches or suggests the United States is an inherently racist or evil country, or that any race or ethnicity is inherently racist or evil. This does not stand up, and I'm going to share with you more on this soon. And so I've got an article that is going to be coming forth that a gentleman by the name of Christopher Wright wrote an article, I think he said it was 2011, regarding racism in America. And I've actually talked to you about this concept of white privilege. So apparently, white privilege exists because people that have lived here before and have been able to get themselves established, they deliberately create laws and or rules and or processes in society that make them or give them the strict advantage. Well, actually, I can't find any laws that says those people actually have an advantage. And as a matter of fact, what's different with Japan, Germany, or Brazil, or Chile, and or anywhere around the world? We'll find that the people who live there, that have been living there for a long time, there are families and so forth that, you know, have established themselves, become very successful. Is that Japanese privilege, Korean privilege, African privilege? We'll be talking more about this later, as I said, but we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And you know the old saying, as long as somebody can continue to keep on saying the same lies over and over again, eventually people start believing them as truths. And so that's really, I believe, what we're seeing in our society, the effect of the continuance of spreading the lies regarding race and hate and slavery and so forth. If you really want to read a good book regarding slavery, racism in America and so forth, a good book to start off with would be Thomas Sowell's Black Rednecks and White Liberals. Like I said before we went into break, Christopher Wright wrote an article on this. He forwarded it to me. I'm going to be reading it, and that way I can turn right around and recommend it to you and give you some comments on it and why you would want to read it. But this whole divisiveness has been around a long time, and you can always tell, you know, the spirit of contention always comes from those who are seeking to do evil. And that's exactly what these folks are doing. That's what divisiveness is all about. It has evil intentions. And so anyway, another story from the Need to Know News from G. Edward Griffin. Ohio State Representative John Becker led Republicans in drafting 10 articles of impeachment against Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, citing the governor's actions like implementing a statewide mask mandate, closure of businesses, stay-at-home orders, and more as, quote, abuses of power. According to the Ohio Constitution, the House of Representatives has the sole power of impeachment, but requires a majority vote. It's instead of two-thirds, it only requires a majority. I will tell you that they may have the sole power of impeachment, but they also have the Constitution and can remove him with that same majority without even having to go through the impeachment process. Would somebody please wake up John Becker regarding Section 3 of the 14th Amendment? I mean, they have the power to remove him. You don't have to worry about impeaching him, because impeachment then would, you know, goes through this whole process of, you know, coming up with the evidence of indictment and so forth. I mean, if you actually, and you should be able to easily prove that he abused his power, therefore he committed rebellion against the Constitution by suspending the constitutional rights that are guaranteed to every U.S. citizen, the right of peaceable assembly, the right of religious expression and being able to come together to worship, all of those rights that they have declared illegal is an abuse of power and overreach. And so, hey, just somebody get a hold of John Becker and let him know Section 3 of the 14th Amendment has all the force and power he needs to just get rid of this dumb guy, Mike DeWine. And so anyway, let us move on. By the way, Dr. Popper reported that a group of prominent evangelicals are calling on Christians to follow the advice of public health service experts to wear masks, get vaccinated, and correct misinformation and, quote, conspiracy theories, close quote. The pledge was drafted by leaders of BioLogos, the nonprofit organization founded by Francis Collins, director of the National Institutes of Health, who is also, Anthony Fauci's boss. Dr. Popper says that while Christians are being recruited by BioLogos, which claims to represent Christian interests, the founder of the organization has accepted funding from the Templeton Foundation that is involved in the depopulation efforts in Africa that were initiated by Bill Gates. And so that effort that they're talking about, this foundation involved in depopulating Africa, that was via vaccinations. So that's why Bill Gates is so heavily involved. As a matter of fact, there was a really good article that was written, and it wasn't necessarily news, but it was an investigative article in a series of, I guess, four articles regarding Bill Gates. And you can find it on Need to Know News with G. Edward Griffin. He didn't write the article. There was another investigative reporter that actually reported how Bill Gates's father was also one that believed in eugenics and depopulating the earth, and which is why Bill Gates has become the self-appointed angel of death, if you want to call it that. Okay, so with regards to the man who has been funding and pushing the COVID vaccine, here you go. The World Health Organization says a new polio outbreak in Sudan is linked to an ongoing vaccine-derived epidemic in Chad that is also spreading in Cameroon. Two children from Sudan have been paralyzed after taking the polio vaccine this spring. Bill Gates, here it is, has played a large role in funding and promoting the polio vaccine in Africa. So why is he doing this? As a matter of fact, if you understand what he's doing, how can you not call him a racist? How can you not point to him and say, hey, here is an individual that is trying to kill these Africans? Come on, folks. You should be able to start connecting the dots and demand that Bill Gates be charged and tried for his crimes against humanity. However, we don't want to get him into a world court. What we want to do is actually have him in a U.S. court and bring forth the evidence to actually prove that he is the guy that's responsible. The World Health Organization warned that the risk of further spread of the vaccine-derived polio across Central Africa and the Horn of Africa was, quote, high, and more than a dozen African countries, including Angola, Congo, Nigeria, and Zambia, are currently battling outbreaks of polio. The UN announced that Africa is wild polio-free in late August, days before the World Health Organization has acknowledged that the new cases are vaccine-derived. What is their solution? More vaccines for the children. In other words, hey, if we didn't kill you before, we will now. Because that's what they're doing. I mean, I can't believe that people aren't making the connection that after half of, you know, the population, why would you still get in line for a vaccine in Africa if you've been seeing what the outcome is after people have received that? Anyway, Bill Gates he's not a good man, and we need to call him out. And actually, I'd like to see Trump call him out and have him investigated and have him brought to justice. Anyway, especially if we want to really find and go after those who are trying and targeting races and countries and ethnicities. Anyway, now I'm sure you have heard about this story, but did you hear this? That in New York, the Rochester police, Ron Singletary, said in a surprise announcement that he would be retiring at the age of 40 with less than 18 months on the job. His deputy and the city's entire command staff either left or gave up their current positions. The departure follows the controversial death of Daniel Prude, a black man under the influence of PCP who stopped breathing during the encounter with police and died 7 days later. Now, there's even more on this coming out, but let me just finish this right here. Rochester has been the scene of riots and fires since the police body cam footage was released. Radical leftists are demanding the resignation of Mayor Lovely Warren, who used church, quote, elders, close quote, as a barrier human shield to protect protesters from the police. Are you kidding? Violent Black Lives Matter militants took to the streets of Rochester, New York, and destroyed restaurants, set diners running, then roved into residential neighborhoods, targeting white people as they walked by apartment buildings and so forth. An assistant principal was marching with BLM and was involved in the street violence. And we've got evidence that in Oregon and around the country, down in Carolinas and so forth, we're finding more and more educators in this past summer who have been arrested and are key leaders in this Bolshevik revolution. And now they're heading back to school to help tell the kids how great it was being out there to further their cause of communism in America. Folks, when are we going to start recognizing that what we have and what has been entrenched in America is a system designed to undermine our laws and our constitution and our way of life? What is it going to take to get you to get involved and do the unthinkable and take action. Clearly, you understand this, what's at stake. And if you care about liberty, if you care about your liberty, or more importantly, the liberty of our children, our grandchildren, and our posterity, we have to start getting involved. This is one of the reasons why we provide you with the solutions. A primary thing that you must start doing is you must start filling out and demanding First Amendment petitions be heard at your county commissioners, county supervisors meetings, your mayors, your city councils, and so forth. Get your local leaders to be held accountable. We will be right back after these two promos with a little bit more on this Rochester issue. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So on the heels of the Rochester's chief of police retirement last week, where the mayor learned, apparently, this is a kind of a tit-for-tat, apparently, the mayor learned about his retirement via social media. So what the mayor did was something kind of very similar. Chief LaRon Singletary was relieved of duties and learns of the dismissal via Twitter. Mayor Lovely Warren on Monday released a preliminary report on the city's response to the death of Daniel Prude and promised a raft of upcoming actions. She also immediately relieved Police Chief LaRon Singletary of his command in the same peremptory fashion that he announced his upcoming retirement last week, leaving him to learn the news via social media. Warren also suspended Corporation Counsel Tim Curtin and Communications Director Justin Roge without pay. She did not take any questions. Later, Mark Simmons, Deputy Chief of Administration, was named Acting Chief. He served as Interim Chief before Singletary's appointment. Earlier, he resigned his command post to return to the rank of Lieutenant at the month's end. So, obviously, there's a lot going on regarding what the heck happened with this an unfortunate death regarding some some person that had a run-in. And let me see if I can find the name. Yeah, Daniel Prude. Sorry, I'm bad with names. But Daniel Prude apparently was under the influence of PCP. But we don't know what all the facts are. We don't know what really happened. But apparently there was some body cam footage that was released. And so as the facts move forward, we will find more and more to reveal on this. But the question is this really considered? I mean, obviously the chief of police was black. I'm not sure if everybody involved, because nobody's talking about any white police involved in this. But it's all about systemic racism. And really, it's not, folks. This has nothing to do with that. And what we're witnessing is people that are being enabled to actually not comply to the law, not actually be held accountable. I mean, I know there's lots of people that, you know, state the obvious that, hey, if you get pulled over by police or if police want to talk to you, you know, they have a right to be able to ask you questions, but it all depends on the circumstances and the types of questions they're asking. But running from the police and being obstinate doesn't necessarily de-escalate the problem or the situation. All it does is it puts it into high gear. And so I don't know, at least I've always been told to, you know, obey the laws, try to, you know, not jaywalk, try not to do things you shouldn't be doing, so that the police has to either, you know, ask you questions or arrest you or charge you. Just avoid doing and committing petty crimes or even, you know, felonies and larceny and so forth. Anyway, if I have to, let me linger on this one more point. What really bothers me is how we don't look at these people that have zero respect for the system. And then we look at the parents and say, what were you teaching your child? Why are you not teaching your child to at least, and I'm not saying that we need to be lemmings to the Constitution, but it's completely different when somebody is actually standing up and saying, hey, this is unconstitutional, than somebody actually committing a crime, you know, like Michael Brown, or, you know, even though Trayvon Martin may not have been committing a crime, but I mean, he chased after George Zimmerman and started beating him up. That in itself was a crime, even though he may not have, quote unquote, been in the act of a crime, when actually Zimmerman, you know, identified him and called him out, and then he disengaged. And then Trayvon Martin decided to commit a crime. And so where are the folks? Where are the parents of these criminals or these kids that are acting in criminal behavior? Why aren't they being called out? Why are these people being lauded as like heroes? Are you kidding me? And they're getting money for the loss of their child. And in other words, they're rewarding bad parenting. Anyway, let me move on to this next G. Edward Griffin story from the Need to Know News. A Columbia Journalism Review expose revealed that to control global journalism, Bill Gates steered over $250 million to major news media outlets, including the BBC, NPR, NBC, Al Jazeera, ProPublica, National Journal, The Guardian, The New York Times, Univision, and many more. Gates also funneled unknown sums via subgrants to an army of independent fact checkers. Now, everybody's been complaining lately regarding fact checkers on social media and marking posts and deleting posts because they're claiming that they are incorrect or the facts don't add up. And everybody is getting up in arms about this because it's basically censorship. And they're claiming to have the high moral ground because they've supposedly checked the facts when they're not. These organizations and what has been actually what is being propagated out of these so-called alleged fact checkers is propaganda. When somebody makes a post that Antifa and BLM are terrorist organizations And then social media comes back and says this fact doesn't add up when they've actually been declared and called that. Interesting. I find it really interesting that Bill Gates is behind this. I mean, are you surprised that that's going on? Anyway, the other organizations included the Poynter Institute and the Gannett. These are the supposedly fact checkers to silence detractors and to, quote, debunk, close quote, charges that Gates has championed biometric chips, implanted contraceptive drugs, vaccine identification, tattoos, and satellite video surveillance and COVID vaccines, as well as contact and tracing. They're spending a lot of money in trying to basically put collars around us for control. It's all about control, folks. And as a matter of fact, if you look at what's been going on in communist China with the social credit system and how they track people and how they go after people for, you know, breaking the mold, are you kidding? Folks, it's time we start waking up. It's time we actually start using our intelligence and understand the things that are available to us. You have the right to write down and let us help you. If you want to go after your city council, if you want to go after your mayor, if you want to go after your governor, reach out to the We the People Foundation. Bob Schultz will be happy to help create. But what we want to do is let's go after the big targets first. Let's go after the governors and bring down the governors and these mayors of these big cities, like the mayor of Seattle, the mayor of Portland, the mayor of Minneapolis, so forth and so on. Let's go after these folks. Let's no longer just accept what they're doing and accept these things as, you know, the new norm. We don't have to. Anyway, Bill Gates bought the media, and he's going to continue to, along with Soros. If you go to Open Borders Foundations, you'll find the list of all the billionaires there that are all working together. You know, they've been working together to help set up and to help train the responses for this pandemic. They've been feeding information and controlling the narrative in mainstream media and news outlets. And I'm telling you, these mainstream news outlets are treating Bill Gates as a public health expert. The guy's not even a, you know, I mean, what is his degree in? He doesn't understand health. And so the fact is, here is a guy speaking in regards to health and health concerns without any medical training. Oh, well, because he has the money, we just listen to him. I guess he's E.F. Hutton, or at least I'm showing my age if you've ever heard or seen that commercial. Anyway, we've got basically a minute. But what I have been doing is I have been, over the past 3 years, actually maybe 4 or 5 years, I've been pretty active about reporting about this atrocity in America regarding child sex trafficking, about human trafficking and so forth. And as a matter of fact, I've worked and or have had and helped the Jonah Project, which is a local organization in Spokane, get visibility and help them kind of bring the message to you that if you think you do not have child sex trafficking in your state, in your local community, you're wrong. Every state has this scourge. And there are all sorts of things that you can do about it, but we have to start educating our children, and we have to take back our education system, because the education system is actually teaching a curriculum to encourage children to become sexually active. All they're doing is they're basically throwing these innocent children into the hands of predators. Are you kidding me? The education system, and I said this before, and I think I just said this last week, sending a child to school, into the education system, is tantamount to child abuse. We have to change our direction, folks, and we can't. That's why we try to teach you about Republic Review, your First Amendment rights of petition, common law grand jury, the tools that we have to actually right this ship. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so anyway, I'm not trying to break my arm patting myself on the back here. The problem is that I remember when I first met Aaron, and he was basically stating his case and providing the empirical data regarding what's really going on and how well over 1,000 kids are in sex slaves in a small city like Spokane. Now, I don't know how big the city is that you live in, but don't think that you don't have this problem. So as we've been trying to shine a light on this, because I'm sorry, folks, the reality is there are predators that are working in your school. And as a matter of fact, the way he talked about it, I would just ask that you go back and listen or do the research on this. There are young men that are being trained how to isolate, separate from the herd, young children, whether they be boy or girl, and basically befriend them and then get them to start compromising. And then next thing you know, they start breaking them down like a horse. They treat them like an animal. And eventually these children truly believe that their life is worth nothing. Now, here's some good news though. A child is abducted every 40 seconds. That's not the good news in the United States. The International Labor Organizations claim that there are 25 million trafficking victims across the world. That returns about $150 billion in pure profit. U.S. Marshals have rescued, and this is the good news, 72 children across the Midwest in three separate operations since mid-August. Recently, Georgia's, quote, Operation Not Forgotten, close quote, led to the rescue of 39 children, and 9 people were arrested on suspicion of sex trafficking and other charges. There's a reason why these things aren't getting reported, folks, because the mainstream news media is suppressing this because they don't want you to think that this is a reality or a problem. That is because they are supporting and enabling the predators to do this. I want to be very clear. This is an indictment on how evil our society has become. And as a matter of fact, California legalizing laws to allow adults to have sex with minors. And we're talking, you know, prepubescent minors now. Are you kidding me? They are trying to normalize this type of behavior. There is no bottom. They want to continually accelerate at breakneck speed in debasing our society. And eventually you'll die off and the new moral low will get lower and lower, because that's how it's been. Ever since they started teaching sex education in the education system in the 1950s, teenage pregnancy has gone up, sexual disease transmission's gone up, morality has gone down. If you look more and more, we have become more and more debased. How much more facts and data do you need? This isn't an evolutionary process. This is a very active process that is driving us. I mean, come on. Homosexuality was illegal in the 60s. You know, sodomy and those types of things were illegal in every state. And now we're actually seeing the legalization and not just the enforcement, but states are being compelled by the federal government to actually commit or actually force them to have homosexual marriages. So folks, don't tell me that this is not a civil war. This is a very broad spectrum civil war. They're trying to move us into a godless, debased society that will be communistic based. You will be compelled. If you don't think that, teach their own. Love is love. Let everybody know. What is going to end up happening when they take full control is everybody will be compelled. And all those people that, you know, was tolerant towards this or that, and just, you know, they refuse to vote the other way because of their ideological mindset, they will rue the day when they too get broken and or forced into doing things that they actually did find repugnant, but the other things that they supported went along with that. So you kind of have to embrace that, right? No, you don't have to embrace it. Anyway, in Ohio, Operation Safety Net recovered 25 missing children in its first 2 weeks. Indiana's Operation Homecoming led to the safe rescue of 8 highly endangered children who were at risk for victimization of child sex trafficking and other crimes. Donald Washington, the director of the U.S. Marshals Service, said that of the more than 400,000 children missing in this country, 91% are considered endangered runaways, and about 1 in 6 are likely to become sex trafficking victims. Usually family members or extended family members are the culprits in the child abductions. That is sick, my friends. What is even worse is, as I remember talking to Aaron about this, what ends up happening, because he talks about these children when all of a sudden they're too old, their appeal is lost because they no longer have that innocence. They no longer have that, those people who want to basically harm and or force and do unspeakable things to poor children. Those people that, you know, when a child becomes an adult or what have you, then they're no longer wanted. So what do these operators who run these types of sex trade and sex trafficking operation, what do? Aaron has said that forced prostitutes, sex slaves, are no longer getting, you know, the attention and or the, you know, nobody wants them anymore. They just take them out and kill them. Friends, we can't get any lower as a society. We're already seeing states passing infanticide where they're killing children that are being born alive in an abortion. we can't allow this to continue. What is it going to take? Now, a lot of people say that we need a third awakening. You will not have a third awakening until we force the federal government back into the constraints of the Constitution. This is why Republic Review and the states doing their job is the most important thing if we're going to break these shackles. If we're going to have a moral recovery, it has to come at the demand of the state legislatures and demanding the federal government get into compliance. And we have to demand our state legislators get into compliance as well. The next story. The study from UCLA and Stanford found a 50 to 64-year-old person who has a single random contact has on average a 1 in 19.1 million chance of dying based on the rates as of the last week of May. One of the researchers, Dr. Bahate, wrote, quote, after months of living with COVID-19, we have more certainty the virus is 10 times less fatal than we first thought. The vast majority who catch it will have mild or no symptoms. Children are largely spared. The mainstream media has failed to report this on this study when it was published in late June. Now, I want you to know that as we looked at this and as I've talked to people, we have discovered that China was actually trying to release a much more effective virus, but they ran out of time when the new Wuhan celebration of the Chinese New Year came. Now, I'm here to tell you that this is just the beginning of the biological warfare that is going to scourge the world. And China is the primary player in doing the research and the deployment of this biological warfare. We have to view China as a true threat to us, both politically, economically, in almost every fashion possible. This is why we really need to draw the line and sever our most favored nation and actually give companies, you know, a time period. You got 1 week, you got 6 months, you got a year, but we need to give companies time to actually get their butts out of China, because we need, if not, they are heading towards war and they actually want to confront us. So if you don't think that's true, then you need to start looking at the news, because China, their goal and their operations and focus is to become the world dominator and to roll out this Big Brother system and compel the world into their views of how to manage human life. And you got to remember, they have no respect. They're not respecters of life whatsoever. Anyway, I'm going to run out of time, but there are people that are starting to rise up. And in California, there was a gentleman who basically went to the county commissioners, or actually supervisors in Shasta County, and demanded that they change their position, because there are people that are literally starving in California and all over this country. People are being decimated by the lack of food, lack of being able to make money and everything else because of these draconian practices. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Claiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiustrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiustrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.